Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Quickly, I want to touch on just a little bit of what we learned last week. How many of you were here last week for the first part of this series on Proverbs? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here again tonight. Want to just get into it because for the sake of time, I don't want to lose too much time with you this evening. But we learned out of a few verses, we learned out of Proverbs 9 and 10 where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. We're talking about wisdom, but we're talking about the fear of the Lord is the starting place. Amen. It is the beginning place of where we find wisdom from the Lord. It says, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see, we learn that no one can truly be wise unless they fear the Lord. Now, it's important for us to understand what fearing the Lord actually means. It's not just respect, but it doesn't mean like terror or fear in that kind of way or panic. But it's actually a deep reverence, a humility, and a submission to the Lord. It actually means being in awe of who he is. Now, I'm giving you this because it's important for us that as we go on through this study over the next several weeks, we need to know first the beginning place of attaining wisdom from God. Amen? And that's this place right here. But I also taught you this, that the Hebrew word for the word Proverbs is the word mashal. And that means this. It's a saying that imparts wisdom of experience to others. So a proverb is a saying that imparts the wisdom of experience to others and the ways to live according to Yahweh. How many of you want to please the Lord? Amen. You see, this is what we're finding. There's I call it like a little nugget of truth. If you read through the book of Proverbs, you know, they're kind of like a bunch of one-liners, right? You know, and in some places they connect in theme, they connect in topic, but a lot of them are just kind of these one line or two line little, you know, nuggets of wisdom. And so again, what is it saying here? These are nuggets of wisdom that will teach us to live according to Yahweh. So the first thing that we learned last week is this: the source of true wisdom is the Lord. Amen. It doesn't matter how many books you've read. It doesn't matter how much education you have. Those are beneficial things and profitable things, and those are things that I believe God wants you to do. Amen? But the true source of wisdom is found in the Lord. If you could picture a fountain, how many of you know what a fountain is, right? A fountain has a beginning place where the water comes out. And if you've seen like the fountains, like some of you may have in your front yard, you know, they have tiers. They have like the first level and the second level and the third level and the fourth level. And as the fountain shoots out water, what happens? It fills up the next tier and the next tier and the next tier and the next tier. God is our fountain. Amen. God is the source. And it trickles down to us. Amen. We're able to receive it through the Lord and having relationship with him. Proverbs 2 and 6 taught us that the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. How many of you know how to hear God? And does anybody know how to hear the Lord? Can somebody give me one way that you can hear God? Just shout it out to me. The word. Exactly that. Prayer. Exactly that. God has already spoken. Amen? God is still speaking, but God has already spoken. And so in order for us to attain wisdom, guess what? This word is full of words that came out of God's mouth. If you don't believe me, you could look at 2 Timothy, I believe it's 3 and 16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. That means it started with him. A lot of people in this world may say, listen, it had an author behind it. It had James, or it had John, or it had Paul, listen, but he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and they wrote down what God said. Amen. So we learn that we find wisdom from his mouth and we find wisdom from his word. Amen. So tonight as we go, I want us to shift gears a little bit and we're going to kind of be learning out of the proverb of Proverbs chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, you can open it there in the meantime. But a Christian church is a living sermon. No matter if you speak or preach the word of God or you stand behind a pulpit, your life is a living sermon. That is what you say and where you go and who you associate with. They're all evidence of the one that we claim to know. Think about that. If we claim to know Jesus, but yet we live like a heathen, it's preaching something. It might be preaching hypocrisy, but it's preaching something. Amen? It's telling the world around you that maybe you don't know him like you think you do. Or maybe you live a certain way and you behave a certain way around a certain group of people, and it's telling that group of people that you don't really live like Jesus when you're not living next to Jesus' people, or maybe when you're not in church on a Wednesday or on a Sunday. And so in this life and world, church, that you and I live in, it's also true that Christians aren't defined only by what they say, but rather by the fruit that their life bears. John 13 and 35, a favorite verse of mine, you know, it speaks about this. It says, the world will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. Love is what? It's a fruit of being connected to the one who has unconditional love, which is the Lord. Amen? A tree, church, never speaks. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've never heard a tree speak. Have you? I don't know. Maybe the leaves will, you know, rustle or make a noise, but a tree never speaks, but we can tell what it is by the fruit that it bears. Amen? A plant has nothing to say. And if your plant talks, that's just weird. But a plant has nothing to say, but you can see what it is by the leaves and the flowers that sprout from it. Amen? And so the word gives us careful instruction as how we are supposed to live in this world, church. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 says this. It says, be very careful then how you live. It says, not as unwise, but as wise. It says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I believe we're living in some pretty evil days. Amen? And so the way that we live, church, is crucial. Because like I said, whether you're standing behind a pulpit or you're preaching a sermon from the word of God, your life is a sermon. Jesus was very direct. I believe it's in Matthew 18. And he had a harsh warning for those that would cause his little ones. That is those that were wanting to believe in him, or those who were going to believe in him, or those who were young in their faith. He had a harsh warning for them. He said, it's better for them to tie a millstone around their neck and throw themselves into the depths of the sea than to cause one of my little ones to fall away from me. Now, that's a very powerful statement. Jesus was saying something really stern in that moment. He was saying the way that we live our life, it could cause somebody else to either go to him or go from him. There's this thing nowadays, and I don't have this in my notes, but I'll just say it anyways. There's this thing nowadays where a lot of people don't go to church because of this thing called church hurt. They've been offended by somebody in the church, a pastor, a leader, just somebody, you know, that sat in the pew next to them. And they say, oh, you know, well, church hurt, I got church hurt, I got church hurt. And you know what? I have a problem with church hurt because church hurt doesn't define or redefine who God is. Amen? And those people are going to have to wake up and make the decision. If they want to follow Jesus, they can still follow Jesus regardless of how people treat them. Because Jesus still followed the Lord. He still followed his Father's plan when everybody was coming against him, when everybody was persecuting, everybody was trying to kill him. But my issue with people that have this thing called church hurt is that a lot of times Jesus is going to have a strong word, just like I shared, towards those who were in the church but weren't living like Jesus. The Lord is going to have something to say in regards to the way that you and I lived our life, whether it was living in righteousness and in holiness and purity, whether it was being a good example to those around us. The Lord is going to have something to say about it. And so, church, I want to just stress this point just for a second, that listen, somebody is watching your life and the way that you live it for the Lord. And they're either getting closer to Jesus because of you or further from Jesus because of you. But there's no in between. There's no in between. So he said, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Proverbs 15 and 24 says, the path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. Ever since we've encountered Christ, the path of life should be upward, amen? It should be towards the Lord. It should be heavenward. But because of foolish living, and foolish living has an effect on your life, it will take you back to the grave. This is what the scripture is trying to teach us. Living like a fool in this world will take us back to the very things that Jesus had set us free from. But it says, but wise living will see us through all the way to heaven. Amen? All the way to that place. And so I want to continue on, and then we'll kind of get into the teaching. I'm just setting up a few things tonight. So 1 Corinthians 12, we read about this in verse 7. It says, this is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I know I'm bouncing around a little bit, but it says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It says, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, church, is our means to wisdom. Amen? The Holy Spirit is our means to wisdom. He is the one that you know, I'll probably talk about this in a later message, but, you know, Jesus told the disciples when they were going to be before the council and the Sanhedrin and they were going to be persecuted in the future, Jesus gave them a warning, and he also gave them comfort by saying, listen, you won't know what you ought to say, but the Holy Spirit will speak to you. See, there was a coming persecution that was going to happen in the lives of the disciples that, you know what, they didn't foresee coming. They had no idea that it was coming, but how many of you know, nothing surprises the Lord. Amen? The Lord knew that it was coming, so the Lord gave him careful instruction. He said, listen, you're going to be before councils, and you're going to be persecuted. All these things are going to happen against you, but listen, you may not have the words to say. Now, this is important, church, because you'll be put in situations in this world either by people that persecute you, either by the enemy himself, either by people that just want to mock you or antagonize you for your faith. You'll be put in situations in a split second. And we need the Holy Spirit in that moment to know exactly how to respond. We need to know exactly what to say. Not just to maybe diffuse the situation if it was a heated argument, but so that we could minister to that person, and at the end of the day, they could come away with this thought or this knowledge of saying, you know what, this person knows the Lord. That's how I want every conversation that I have to end, amen? And so the Holy Spirit is our means to wisdom, and if you and I are in Christ, then the Holy Spirit is our guide, amen? He's the one that will not only give us the message of wisdom, but will also give us the keys to living in wisdom. So Proverbs 3 and verse 5, I know that many of us know this verse, but we're going to just kind of break it down a little bit more. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways, submit to him. It says, and he will make your path straight. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. It says, fear the Lord and shun evil. Verse 8, for this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. It says, and honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Let's pray for the word tonight. Lord, I thank you, Father, for every person present, God, those that are listening online tonight. Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, we give you just the freedom to drop wisdom in our hearts tonight, to teach us, to grow us, God, to challenge us, Lord, to stretch us in our faith, God. We ask that you do these things, Lord, in our hearts, so we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, socially, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, what does it say? Submit to him and he will make your path straight. There's a lot that we could pull from this passage, but the command here is to first trust in him with all of our heart. To trust in him with all of our heart. Now, what does that look like? See, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, church, is a complete move of faith. It really is. I love how the Lord had commended those. He said, you know, you're more blessed, you know, that you believe even though you haven't seen. You know, he's like, you know, there's some that have seen and believed. He's like, but you haven't seen and yet you still believe. You see, that's trust. Not that God's weighing who's better, you know, those that walked with him or those that are, you know, that you and I, the Gentiles that, you know, didn't get to see Jesus physically in the flesh. I don't know if he has an extra prize for us when we get to heaven. That'd be nice. I like extra prizes. But that's what trust looks like. Trust looks like what Martin Luther King said. Taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Trust looks like, God, I don't know how you will. I don't know when you will. I don't even know if you will, but I trust you. I don't know what the end outcome will be, but Lord, I have placed all of my trust, everything in my heart, Lord, I place it all on you. In the second part of that verse, he said this, and lean not on your own understanding. How many of you know what leaning is? This is leaning. I'm leaning now. And thank God this pulpit is built sturdy to support all, I don't know what I weigh anymore, but whatever I weigh. If it wasn't sturdy, it would topple over. And the implication here is that if this was my understanding, if this was my own knowledge, if this was my own, you know, attained and acquired wisdom of the world, he's saying, don't lean on that. Don't lean on that. Duke, you might think that you've learned a couple of things in this world and you may have, you know, learned from past mistakes or the failures of others or whatever, but listen, don't lean on your own understanding of things. Don't lean on the fact that maybe you in your mind could think of a way that God could pull something through in your life, but that's not the way that God's going to do it. Don't lean on your own ability to understand something. You and I have to tell ourselves that and say, hey, listen, you know what? I think I, you know, this is how God's going to do it. How many of you know that the Lord, you know, so many times in scripture, it almost seemed like any time the Lord was touching a person's life, he didn't do it the same way twice. Wasn't that interesting? There was blind people that were healed three different ways. One was spit on. The other one, you know, he made mud and he put it on their eye. And the other one, he just spoke that the eye would be open. See, we may have learned, church, if we, you know, you learn in school, 2 + 2 = 4, it will always be 4. Amen? It should be 4. Somebody say amen, please. All right, cool. Still 4, Brother Noyola? Dr. Noyola? Okay, just making sure. He's an educator, so he should know. And you and I, because we're carnal beings, we want to go, okay, I prayed, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And that person was healed. And then the next time we say, okay, I'm going to do that again. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that person's not healed. And God's like, I'm not going to do it that way. You need to listen, son. You need to pay attention to what I'm saying. You need to incline your ear to my spirit. Because my understanding would be like, hey, this is the way that God's going to do it every single time. And guess what? The Lord is wanting us to lean in more and more and more off our own ability to put 2 + 2 and make it 4 and say, Lord, however you're going to do it, Lord, I trust you. However it's going to look, however it is going to be. Leaning on our own understanding is like the story of Peter. One day the Bible says that Jesus was preaching to a crowd of people by the side of the lake, and when he noticed 2 boats, and the men were out there, you know, they had just gone fishing all night. They were washing their nets. That meant that they were done fishing. They were washing their nets. They were getting everything put away. And Jesus asked them, he says, hey, can I preach from your boat? So they're like, all right, Jesus, you know, get in the boat. And they kind of get the boat off the shore, and they push it out just a little ways into the water so that Jesus could continue ministering to this crowd. And so after preaching for a little while, Jesus comes up with this great idea. He says, listen, I'm done preaching. He tells those fishermen, one of whom was Simon Peter, he tells them, he says, take the boats a little bit deeper. And I got a great idea. You guys were out there for 12, 14 hours all night. You didn't catch a fish, Peter. None of y'all experienced fishermen. None of y'all caught a fish. But I got the great idea. Take the boats a little bit deeper and lower the net. Now I'm certain, church, that if Peter is just like you or me, you'd be like, I was just out there all night, Lord. I mean, I know what I'm doing. I'm a fisherman. I bet if I walked into any one of y'all's workplaces and you were frustrated trying to do something, and I said, no, hold on a second. Let me go in and I'll show you. Just right there. Just grab that thing. And you were trying to crack the code to this problem. You were frustrated. You were going all night. You were just trying to work it out. And somebody just comes along and they're like, oh, just do the thing that you've been trained to do. But there was a little bit of a difference. Jesus tells them to lower the nets on the other side. He said, lower the net on the right side. And what's so funny about this is Peter, he reveals what was the most essential thing in this moment, and that was this, was that he trusted Jesus. Let's read about this. Luke 5:5. Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything. He said, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. See, that's trust. Lord, we worked all night. He kind of gave that little, he just made it a point that he wanted Jesus to know, Lord, we were out there all night. The nets are clean. We just wrapped them up, but that's okay. We'll take them back out. We'll set it back out. And he says, because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And the Bible says when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. He said, I am a sinful man. Interesting. I think Peter was so humbled in that moment, church, that it brought him back to that place of acknowledging his own shortcomings. See, that's what not leaning on our own understanding looks like. Is that place of humility to say, Lord, I'm sorry that if I thought ahead, if I presumed, if I assumed, God, maybe this is how it would be done, Lord. He falls on his face, says, Lord, I'm not worthy to be here. I'm a sinful man. But what I love about Peter in that moment was he could have hesitated, but instead he said, because you say so. You see, church, the Lord is giving us instruction. The Lord is giving us wisdom. The Lord is imparting into your life on a daily basis as you're reading the word, as you're praying, as you're spending time with him. But when the Lord gives the command, are we hesitant? Or are we quick to say, because you said so, I'm going to move. Because you said so, Jesus, I will say. Because you said so, Lord, I will do. I like that quote that I read to you last week. But it said something like this. It said, it's time for us to not trust our own training, to not trust our own thoughts or our own techniques, but to fully allow him access to lead us into wise living. You see, I've been trained in a lot of things in this world. I've learned a lot of things in this world, as have you. You know a lot about a lot of things. But when it comes to the Lord, church, we have to be at that starting place with him. We don't make a move until the Lord says. We don't think this is how the Lord would do it, so I'll just assume this is what should be done. No, we consult the Lord and we wait for his answer. Proverbs 3:7 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. It says, fear the Lord and shun evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You see, when we think we're wise, we've leaned on our own understanding. Amen? When we think that we know something, we've actually leaned on our own understanding. But when we reverence who the Lord is and we shun evil that wants us to lean on self, then we step in to the blessings of God. Let's read it. Proverbs 3:8. He says, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. He said, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. You see, now that sounds like a great plan to me. Amen? That sounds like an excellent plan to fear God and to shun evil. This will bring us into a healthy life. This will bring us into this place, church, where honoring God with the first fruits, which is our tithe, is he will not only keep us provided for, but it will actually lead us into an overflow place of blessing. Amen? Proverbs 4:20 says this, my son, pay attention to what I say. He says, turn your ear to my words. He said, do not let them out of your sight. He says, but keep them within your heart. He says what? For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. See, life and health and blessing and strength and protection, it's all summed up in Jesus. And Jesus is telling us exactly where to find it. Amen? What did he say? Listen to my instructions. Listen to me, in other words. But church, when the management of our affairs is as we determine, then we're headed for detriment. Think about that. When the management of your life is as you say, is as you've planned, is as you've structured out, as you've meant to happen. See, I know a lot of people that do a lot of things in their life that God never told them to do. See, that's us managing our own affairs. Amen? That's us managing our own life. Listen, you will head yourself into destruction and detriment if you do it without first consulting the Lord. If we purpose to manage our life outside of God's wisdom and counsel, then you and I are set to fail. In the book of Acts, we find Peter and some of the apostles, they're now on trial for preaching the gospel. And this happened, you know, all throughout the New Testament, you know, after Christ had ascended and he had given them the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that one of the men who was part of this, his name was Gamaliel, who was Paul's teacher. So everybody knows who the Apostle Paul is. Well, this guy, hard to say his name, Gamaliel, was Paul's teacher, and he was well respected, and he was given an opportunity to speak before the council when Peter and some of the apostles were on trial. And this is the words that he uttered. Listen to this. In Acts 5 and verse 38, he says, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you." Now, he's speaking on behalf of the disciples. He's advising the Sanhedrin who has them in captivity at the moment. He said, "I advise you, leave these men alone." He said, "Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail." Interesting. If their purpose or their activity is of human origin, it will fail. Now, the reason that they're in trial right now is because the apostles at that moment, there was miracles and signs and wonders that God was using them. The Holy Spirit was flowing through their life all throughout the city. People were being healed, and guess what? There was this uproar of supernatural activity that was happening all around them. People were set free. Others were repenting and turning from their sin to follow Christ. And this Pharisee, listen to this, this Pharisee stood before the Sanhedrin on that day, and he recognized this very thing, that the ability of man would eventually fail. Isn't that interesting? He's a religious man. He's not a follower of Jesus, but he knew this one thing. He said, the ability of men will fail. Man's origin and creation would eventually cease to exist. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and I want to pause here for a moment, is this, and ask this question: why is it that men and women find themselves trying to bring their own plans to fulfillment only to see them fail? If this Pharisee, if this guy who's speaking to the Sanhedrin could identify this one thing, then why can't we? Why can't we in our own understanding, why can't we in our own so-called wisdom understand that if we try to do it under our own power, it will not happen? That famous, you know, verse that says, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by what? The Spirit, says the Lord. It is the leading of the Spirit. It's the following of the Spirit. It's our obedience to the Spirit. It's the word that the Spirit tells us to do that we must follow, church. Not ourself, not our flesh, to bring fulfillment only to ourselves. See, most often it's because of this. I'll answer that question. Most often it's because they've yet to surrender their person and their purpose before the Lord. See, this is why we try to keep doing things on our own. Because we've yet to surrender our person and our purpose before the Lord. In other words, we keep trying relationships our own way. And they keep failing. We keep trying to manage our finances according to our own wisdom. And guess what? We keep running out. Or we keep planning things without consulting God. You see, all of these things, church, will lead us back to this place of failure. It will not work. See, I'm like the worst motivational coach in the world right now. You're like, Pastor Duke, you should be telling me to try and again, and I'll succeed. I am a coach. I get to coach my daughter's, some of her teams. And I'll tell you something, one of the differences about coaching a sport versus living Christianity, one of the biggest differences is this, is in coaching a sport, if those people on that team, whatever the sport, if they give maximum effort and they train tirelessly, they can achieve great things. They really can. I was coaching volleyball this whole week, and I got girls that have literally never played volleyball a day in their life, and they're already serving it over the net. Now, that's a big deal for a junior high girl. But guess what? If they keep training and they keep working at it, guess what? It's going to get better and better and better. The difference, though, from coaching to Christianity is this, is that in Christ, he's already done the work. Amen. In Jesus, he's already done the work, and all we've got to do is just trust in that. All that we've got to do is just say, Lord, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, God. I'm not going to make my own plans the way I want things to go, God, but I'm going to trust in the way that you're going to bring it and the way that you're going to do it. Amen. How many of you are thankful, church, for God's grace? I'm thankful for the grace of God. I really am. You want to know why? You know, I'm thankful that countless times when I got myself into a bind, Jesus set me free. Amen. Countless times, church, when we leaned on our own understanding, the Lord pulled us out. The Lord was like, hey, man, I see that you got yourself back into the mud and back into the mire, but don't worry, I'm here. I've got the pressure washer of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to clean you up again. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to renew you. I'm going to make you new again. And guess what? I'm going to bring you back into the fold. So I'm thankful for God's grace. But Proverbs 16:9 says this, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. See, you and I may have plans for our life. We may have, you know, plans and desires and wishes and whatever you want to call it. But listen, at the end of the day, the Lord is going to purpose your step, my friend. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Amen. And just like Gamaliel recognized about man's plans failing, he also understood what the Lord would want us to know too. Acts 5 and verse 39, he goes on to say this, but if it is from God, everybody say this, if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men and you will only find yourselves fighting against God. You see, when God says that something's going to be done, it gets done, my friend. Amen. God's not like you and me. And you know what? I'm not trying to put us down tonight, but sometimes we're wishy-washy. Amen. Sometimes we say one thing and we do another. Sometimes we make promises that we never fulfill. We don't do it. We don't follow through. We don't do any of those things. But listen, I don't care who. I don't care what. I don't care what spirit. I don't care what anything. Nothing is a match for God. There is nothing that can stop the plan of God. No man has the ability to mess up God's plan. Isaiah 14 and verse 24 says this, the Lord Almighty has sworn. He said, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. I believe, church, that it's time for us to get our faces back in the Word. It's time for us to bend our knees in prayer, amen, in our prayer closets. Because guess what, church? 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 second in the presence of the Lord will reveal any flaws in your most carefully thought out plan. Every time I've never known what to do, I just sit before the Lord. And I pray. I'm faced with whatever situation that I'm faced with in life. And I said, Lord, I do not have the answer, God, but I'm going to sit here. I'm going to wait on you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that your way is better. I'm going to trust, God. I'm not going to get anxious. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to begin to do. I'm not going to begin to just make my decisions on my own. But Lord, I'm going to wait on you, Lord. If you would just sit down and consult, church, think of who you're consulting with, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the God of all creation. You have a seat in front of his desk. See, there's a lot of people in this world that will never give you the time of day. You may see somebody that you admire, somebody that you, you know, think highly of, and you may want to ask them a question, and they may never give you the time of the day. You may want to ask them, oh, how'd you become so successful at what you do? How'd you, you know, accomplish this in life? How'd you do that? And you know what? Those are all nice questions. But none, I think, are in anywhere comparable to the fact that we have access to the throne room of God. We can sit before the Lord and we can say, Lord, I need your counsel. I need your wisdom, Lord. I need you, Lord, to show me which path to take. I need you, Lord, to direct me in the way that I should go. I need you, Lord, to change my mind about the way I think about a situation, God, so you can just do what you want to do and I'll be okay with it. You see, church, leaning not on our own understanding means that we have to give up our right to understand. It means we have to give up our right to understand and say, hey, you know what? God, I'm not even going to attempt to understand why I'm where I'm at, why this situation maybe hasn't changed, or why, God, the enemy keeps attacking me the same way. God, you know what? I give up my right to understand. Forget what that verse is. I think it's Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says, for the secret things belong to the Lord. There's some things, church, you will never know in this life. But the most powerful thing is this, is that we can consult the one who knows all things and who will make our life, our path, he will direct it straight so that one fine day, church, you and I will inherit the kingdom of heaven. That is a glorious hope, amen. We hear a lot of things in this world, church. We hear things like this. You fail to plan, and then you'll what? You'll plan to fail. Fail to plan, then you plan to fail. When we should be living like this, I have faith in his plan, and his plan won't fail. Amen. Would you stand to your feet tonight? I want us to pray. I want to be living in the Lord's plan for my life. Amen? How many of you want to be living in God's plan for your life? Then it's time, church, that we understand to live in wisdom is to live in the Lord. To live in wisdom is to live in the Lord. And to trust the Lord is giving up our right to understand the how and the when and the why of his ways. Amen?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.